Greetings, my peeps, and welcome to the All Things Basketball Podcast with your boy GD. In this episode, I'll be doing my Western Conference first round preview. I already did the East, so now we're going to concentrate on the West. All four games, well, all four series, and then also tie up a few things with a few teams that got knocked out of the play-in. So just sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Okay, guys, it's your boy GD back with All Things Basketball with GD Podcast. And guys, we are in playoff mode. As I said in the last episode, so the playoffs are underway. My favorite time of the year, guys. So we got, so far I covered the Eastern Conference. So now it's time to turn our attention to the West. So with that said, let us not delay any further. Let's get right into it. We will start with the number one seed in the West, the Oklahoma City Thunder, and they will be taking on the eighth seed, the New Orleans Pelicans. And guys, in that season series, OKC took it 2-1. And oddly enough in that series, each of the teams won on the other's home court. So road wins for OKC, two of those, and New Orleans got one. So how did OKC get here? Well, they finished 57 and 25 in the West. They finished 33-8 at home, 24-17 on the road, guys. Very good. 36 wins and 16 losses in conference. So, guys, they have been the absolute surprise story of the NBA, ascending to the top spot in the West. Nobody saw this coming. So, definitely kudos to that organization. The coaches, of course, Mike Daigneault. I've been singing his praises throughout the season. Of course, their star player, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, an MVP candidate, and rightfully so. And all those guys there, from Chet Holmgren to Jalen Williams, Josh Giddey, and I could go on. But definitely kudos to that team over there. And then how did New Orleans get here? They finished 49-33. That was seventh in the conference, guys. But, of course, the play-in kind of changed things around. So they end up with a 21-19 home record. Not so good. But they were 28-14 on the road. One of the best road records in the entire NBA, if not the best. And they finished 30-22 in the conference. In terms of the play-in, they did lose to the Lakers 110-106. They lost that game at home. And then they had a home game against the New Orleans against the Sacramento Kings. And they won that 105-98. But guys, in that loss to the Lakers, Zion Williamson, who was absolutely killing it. I watched that game. He was, this was Duke vintage Zion in that game. 40 points, 11 rebounds, 5 assists, but he did pull his hamstring in that game, guys, unfortunately. But Friday night, they were able to beat Sacramento without his services. So we have to see in terms of his long-term prognosis in this series. So we'll see what happens there. Key matchups for me, guys. I think it's going to be Herb Jones on Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. I was thinking Jose Alvarado, but I mean, he gives away a lot of inches to Alvarado. Remember, Alvarado's just 6 feet tall, whereas Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is 6'6". So I think it will be Herb Jones, who's a pretty good defender himself, that will be covering Shai in this series. And then I'm looking at Josh Giddey versus CJ McCollum. CJ McCollum, of course, the cagey veteran over there for those New Orleans Pelicans. And Josh Giddey, 6'8", so he's long. He should be able to bother CJ McCollum in that regard. But of course, you know, I mentioned, of course, Grand Theft Alvarado. I think he could see some time on Giddey as well. So that's the way I'm seeing it in that regard. But I think this is a pretty good matchup. And then one that's kind of on the low. Well, this one is on the low, but let me mention before that, Jalen Williams versus Brandon Ingram. I think that matchup will probably hold the key. Jalen Williams, who's had a fine second season, but he could be a bit hot and cold, but he'll have his hands full dealing with Brandon Ingram. So that's a matchup I am really interested in watching. And then on the low, the one I was talking about, Jonas Valanciunas versus Chet Holmgren. Of course, Valanciunas has the ball, the normal center size, whereas Chet Holmgren, kind of lanky, so he's giving away a lot of pounds to Valanciunas. So that's a matchup that should be intriguing as well in this series. So with that said, my prediction, guys, I think a lot hinges on the health of Zion Williamson. If you see that same Zion that you saw in that Laker game, this is going to be a long series. But I think either way, it's going to be a long series, guys. I think OKC in this top spot, you know, they're getting their first real taste of the playoff. Last year, they did the play-in and didn't advance, but this is really their first taste. I think it goes seven games, and then I think it's OKC. But my caveat is, if Zion comes back, he's at full strength, I think it could flip the other way, guys. That's how good Zion Williamson is when he's right. When he's right, man, it's not many players that can match him. So I'm saying OKC in seven, but the Zion factor will play a huge part in this series. So we'll see what happens there. Moving on to the number two seed, Denver Nuggets, the defending champions, taking on the seventh seed, the Los Angeles Lakers. For the season series, guys, Denver swept the Lakers 3-0. Mind you, two of those games were in LA, including the one where they kind of upset the night for LeBron. Remember, that was the night where he amassed 40,000 points scored. And that same night, Denver beat them 124-114. So Denver has had their number, of course, in the series last season in the playoffs, and then during the regular season here. How did Denver get here? They too finished with a 57-25 record, the same as OKC. And oddly enough, the same home and away record, 33-8 at home, 24-17 on the road. They finished 33-19 in conference. Now, how did the Lakers get here? They finished 47-35. That was eighth in the West, but excuse me. But with the play-in, guys, they ascended to the seventh spot. They did that in beating the New Orleans Pelicans 110-106. In a game where we saw guys like D'Angelo Russell drop 21 points with 6 assists. Austin Reeves, he had 16 with 6 assists and 5 rebounds. LeBron and AD actually had an off night. Between them, they scored 43 points, but they did it on 12 of 36 shooting. Definitely not the efficiency you see from either one of these guys. So I think it was a point where they were just gassed, going into that play-in game. But the Lakers were able to get the win nonetheless. So my key matchups in this series, I think the obvious one is Anthony Davis versus the Joker, Nikola Jokic. So how that plays out, I think plays a huge part in this series. Last year we saw the Joker absolutely dominate, so much so they had to pull AD off of him and put Jared Vanderbilt on him instead. And right now they don't have a plethora of bigs over there. You still have Jackson Hayes over there, but I think it's still in favor of the Joker. For some reason, Anthony Davis has his problems with the Joker. So he has to figure that out in this series. And then another one I'll be looking at, D'Angelo Russell versus Jamal Murray. Now, if we see the same Russell that we saw in that play-in throughout this series, that gives the Lakers a pretty good advantage. But if we don't, if we see the hot and cold Russell, I think that could be problematic for the Lakers. And then Jamal Murray, you know he's a playoff performer, so he's primed and ready. He's had his rest now. He's a guy, you know, with the knee, you want to be careful, but he's had proper rest, so I think Murray will take off in this series. So that matchup I'm looking at. And then, of course, LeBron James versus Aaron Gordon. I think that'll be the matchup there. Aaron Gordon did a pretty good job with him. LeBron had his moments here and there, but I think overall Gordon did a fine job on LeBron. So he's going to have to bring that and do that again in this series. And I think a underlying factor in this series, not necessarily a matchup, but I think Denver's bench, when they can reach into that bench, get guys like Christian Brown, guys like Reggie Jackson, also Justin Holiday, guys like Peyton Watson. Once you could get those guys major minutes in there and they contribute, I think that could go a long way for the Denver Nuggets as well. So with all of that said, guys, my prediction, I'm saying Denver in six, guys. I'm saying Denver in six. I think the Lakers, you know, they've put up a valiant effort pretty much throughout the season, but I think Denver is poised and ready for another run to the finals. So I'm picking Denver in this series. It's not going to be an easy series, guys, but I think the fact that Denver does have the home court advantage, you know, that altitude is always something to be mindful of. I think they've proven that they can win in LA. They've done that and then some. So I'm picking Denver in six. Let us move on. The number three Minnesota Timberwolves, the three seed there, will face the six seed, the Phoenix Suns. And guys, much like I said in the East with the three seed Milwaukee Bucks, I think for Minnesota, this is probably the worst matchup you could possibly imagine for them being matched up against the Phoenix Suns. Because the Phoenix Suns swept them the season series, including the season finale, where, you know, the starters for Minnesota. For some reason, they were passive. It was like they almost said, you know, we'll give away this game. I don't want to say they, you know, threw it or anything like that, but it was weird that game. But I guess they, in their mind, they said, I don't see us overtaking OKC or Denver, so this is our lot. We'll deal with it. So I don't think they showed much to Phoenix because they know they're going to play them in a series. So that's kind of the way I'm looking at it. I could be wrong. How did Minnesota get here? They finished 56-26, so a game behind both OKC and Denver. Third in the West. 30 games they won at home against 11 losses. And then they went 26-15 on the road. 37-15 in conference. Very good, guys. In fact, they have the best in-conference record of all the teams in the playoffs for the West. So that's definitely good. And then how did Phoenix get here? They finished 49-33, 6 in the West, 25-16 at home, 24-17 on the road with a 29-23 record in conference. The key matchups, guys, I think Anthony Edwards versus Devin Booker. You know, it seems like the league wants Anthony Edwards to step up and be that guy. I say in this series, it's paramount for him to be that guy in this series. He has to show up. He has to figure out a way to slow down Booker. He has to get off himself. I think a lot rests on this young man's shoulders in this series. So this will be a matchup I'm looking at. Mike Connolly versus Bradley Beal. I think this is a matchup that's can fly under the radar, but the cagey vet in Connolly, I think he has to really limit what Beal can do in this series. And then, of course, the marquee matchup, Karl Anthony Towns, who is now back and healthy, versus Kevin Durant. I think this is step-up time for Karl Anthony Towns. He has heard the whispers. He has heard the fact that this is now a Anthony Edwards team. He has heard that, you know, he's not a guy. He's not a guy. When you think toughness, you don't think Karl Anthony Towns, but he has to be tough in this series. He has to give Kevin Durant a hard time. He just has to in order for this team to advance. And then a matchup that'll fly under the radar, but I think whoever controls the boards amongst these guys, I think the team that does that will have an advantage. That's Josef Nurkic versus Rudy Gobert. I think that is a matchup that will be kind of low-key, but I think very important in this series. With that said, my prediction, guys, I wrestled with this one. I really did, because everything points to Phoenix winning this series. But I'm going Minnesota. I'm going out on a limb, guys. I know you'll say they're the 3 seed. You're not really going out on a limb, but hear me out. Phoenix has every advantage here. They have the 3 strongest players in this series. Well, they have a stronger big 3 than Minnesota does. The season matchup, they had the advantage there. But I think this is a case where Minnesota has to look in the mirror and say, you know, we were one of the top teams in this conference for the whole year. We have to make a statement in these playoffs. If they go down, that's the 3 seed. You know, the whispers will be loud about getting rid of Karl Anthony Towns and then turning the team fully over to Anthony Edwards. So I think a lot rests. I'll talk about the players under pressure when I finish the last series I'll talk about. But yeah, so I'm saying Minnesota in seven. And then the last series I'll talk about is the number four seed, the LA Clippers, facing the five seed, the Dallas Mavericks. And this is an interesting one as well, guys. The Clippers took this series 2-1. But mind you, the last time they played was in December, December 20th. So we are talking about a Dallas team that is vastly different than what you see now. How did the Clippers get here? They finished 51-31, fourth in the West. They finished 25-16 at home, 26-15 on the road. So you definitely like that either way. And they finished 30-22 in the conference. Whereas Dallas, they finished 50-32, fifth in the West, 25-16 at home, 25-16 on the road. So they had equal records, both home and away, 31-21 in conference. The key matchups in this series, and I had to kind of figure it out here, but I think Kawhi Leonard, I think, of course, his health is always a key in this series. Well, overall, he missed his last eight games with that knee, guys. So, and right now, from the reports I've gotten, he's questionable for game one of that series. So we'll see if he's able to give it a go. But I think him being on Luka Doncic is absolutely, supremely important in this series. He has to be the one to deal with Luka in this series, I feel. So a lot rests on Kawhi in that regard. James Harden versus Kyrie Irving. This is one that I'm kind of licking my chops at, guys. You know the kind of, I want to say, strained relationship here. Remember, they were both in Brooklyn with the Nets. Remember, it was Harden who wanted out. He had saw enough of the old Kyrie, well, the Kyrie in Brooklyn with the antics and so forth. And he wanted out. He wanted to go to Philly. He did went to Philly. And then that first game against the Nets, Kyrie Irving played defense I'd never even seen him play before, where he just D'd up Harden. So I think in this series, those guys going after each other is going to be a lineup, a matchup I'm really looking forward to, guys. And then you got PJ Washington going up against Paul George. I think this is one where PJ has to be able to deal with Paul George in this series. If not, if he lets it get away from him, George will have a field day in this series. And then one that's flying under the radar, Daniel Gafford, the center for the Dallas Mavericks, going up against Ivica Zubac. I think, again, like I said, in the Minnesota Phoenix series, the center that controls the boards helps his team in that regard. So with that said, guys, my prediction, this is one I wrestle with as well. But, you know, a lot hinges on health. Harden, too, he has the foot issue. He missed three of the last four games. Then you have Paul George. He missed two of the last three. Just kind of resting him and those sort of things. Dallas has been a hot team coming out of the All-Star break. They really played well. It seemed like Luka and Kyrie has figured it out. And you got the ancillary other guys that's supporting them. I'm going to say this is going seven. Let me just say that. This is going seven. And I'm going to pick the Clippers in seven, but I'm really not confident in it. I'm really not, guys. But I just say Tyronn Lue, he's going to figure it out. He's going to... You still have guys like Norman Powell who can help out if a Kawhi was to miss time. You still have a Russell Westbrook there, a guy who can galvanize your team as well. So I'm saying by the slimmest of margins, the LA Clippers. So this should be a fun series nonetheless. All right, guys. So that is your playoff picture in that regard. Let's talk about a couple of teams that are on the outside looking in. Just last night, the Sacramento Kings fell to the New Orleans Pelicans. So they are now out of the playoffs. A disappointing season if you look at it that way. Last year, it's so much promise. And then this year, albeit you did lose two shooting guards, your starter and then your top bench player in Kevin Huerter and then Malik Monk. So I guess you could give Mike Brown a mulligan in that regard. He was able to get a guy like Keenan Ellis to step up, but it's tough when you lose players like that, though. But I think for the Kings, the maturation of a Keegan Murray, he showed you flashes. He is a bona fide player in this league. So his development will go a long way for the success of this team. And re-signing Malik Monk, in fact, you have to do that. So that will be important as far as bringing him back into the mix. So I'm not too worried about the Kings. As long as, again, these guys develop, you still have De'Aaron Fox, who's a mainstay there. Domantas Sabonis, he had a record-breaking year for him in terms of what he did in terms of the double-doubles and so forth. So, yeah, I'm not too worried about the Kings. On the other hand, let's talk about Golden State. The Golden State Warriors, who played in the 9-10 game and was roundly beaten by the Sacramento Kings. Did we see the end of the big three in terms of Steph Curry, in terms of Klay Thompson and Draymond Green? We'll see. Here's what I will say, and you know, I saw Draymond in his press conference after the game, what he had to say in regards to the team and their future. I was less than impressed with what he had to say, to be honest with you. I'm going to say this. I know a lot of people are skirting the issue. You know, your talking heads are not going to hit this head on. They're not going to do it. But I'll be the one who do it. Draymond, you need to look in the mirror. The 25 games you missed, the five after you headlocked Rudy Gobert, and then the indefinite suspension, which ended up being about 20 games, in which you did what you did to Yusuf Nurkic. That, along with the ejection you amassed 4 minutes into the game for arguing a call, you could have just walked away and just be done with it. So we're talking 26 games you weren't available for your team. You don't think that could have been the difference in the standings? They finished with 46 wins, guys. Normally, that's a good year. But in this West, you see a 50-win team is in the 5 seed. So are you trying to tell me that these Golden State Warriors could have got 50 wins this year? They sure could have. But they didn't. Why? Because Draymond decided to be Draymond to think, I don't even want to say he was thinking about himself. He just lost it. And that cost your team. I don't want to hear about Klay Thompson. I understand. I get it. He's slowing down a bit. You know, he did have two knee surgeries. I grant you that. But you know something that you cannot say about Klay Thompson? He wasn't available for his team. He was. And you weren't, Draymond. That's the problem. That is the problem. So I get it. The media is not going to come down on Draymond like that because he's a likable guy. He's he has the gift of gab, but he cost his team. That is plain and simple. He cost his team with the suspensions, with the ejections. He cost that team, period. End of sentence. So the fact that you are a 10th seed, you shouldn't even been that if he was available to the team. So y'all can miss me with not calling a spade a spade. This man cost that team. So with that said, I'm just going to leave it alone. I think I said enough on that regard. I think they'll be thinking about moving on from Andrew Wiggins. I think that big contract there is just going to be too much for them. They're going to move on. I think locking in Jonathan Kuminga for the future is a huge thing that they must address in the offseason. And then you got to think about this, guys, if it is the end of the big three over there. Well, at least two of the three. Well, Klay Thompson is a free agent, unrestricted, so he can go anywhere. I don't see Golden State throwing a huge amount of money at him. I see maybe other teams doing that, but I think this could be where he heads off into greener pastures. So if you're Golden State, you got to figure out, and I know this is sacrilege when I say this, your greatest asset is Steph Curry. I understand he's due to get $115 million for the next two seasons, but imagine the haul you can get for Steph Curry. Of course, you have to go to him and, you know, you have to be like, look, this team is reaching we reached the end of the road. I think we need to retool. I think we need to get younger and go from there. And just have a moment where you talk to Steph and say, we can move you. Wherever you want to go, we'll accommodate. Because you've done that much for this franchise. I think that's a conversation that they need to have. I know people say, how can you move Curry? He's on the other side of 35. So you have to consider these things, guys. That's just the way we've seen it with other dynasties where they hold on to guys too long. Steph still has something in the tank. You gotta consider it at least. You have to. So I'll just say that. Where they go from here, we'll see. So with that said, all right, guys, I'm going to end it there. I thank you for listening as always. I thank you for watching as well. Always appreciate it. The website is allthingsbasketballwithgd.com. You can email me. That's sportsdudegd@gmail.com. Also, YouTube, I'm there, All Things Basketball GD. All my videos there, all my shorts are there. So you can check that out. Like the videos, comment on the videos. You can do that. All platforms, podcast platforms, I'm there. Apple, I'm there. You can leave your reviews there as well. And to support this show, of course. You could do that on the website. I got a number of buttons there, buttons for Spotify. I got buy me a coffee button, and my PayPal button should be there also. Cash App, GD that sports dude, $GD that sports dude. That's another way you can do it. Guys, I thank you for listening as always. Your listenership is what drives this show. I bring the content to you because I know this is what you like. So I just bring it. I bring it real. All right, guys, with that said, I thank you for listening as always, and we'll talk soon. Take care.